Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary
world
mind control,
strange
military
cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control,
military
flying
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Hi, I'm Mark Macy from worlditc.org. You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Downloading our Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's podcast. You can get it on iTunes, or you can go to Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's website at www.louisvillegs.com. Put me inside your iPod today so I can spook you to death, or I'll haunt you anyway.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
I am the sexor.
I am absolutely impressed.
About what?
Your skills.
Yeah, you have man.
My wonderful movements.
You have wonderful movements.
My wonderful movements.
Both are
no,
wonderful.
No, your movements are horrid, but your skills are out of this world.
Is that right, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's sexy. I think I said.
That's damn right, mama.
this
is Ghost of Talk. I'm Scott A.
I am Thog.
And I just threw up in my mouth.
Nasty. All right, this half hour is over.
Bye, bitch. See you later. No, actually, what we were referring to was Zach mentioned that we have our Mr. Zach Bagans on the line right now.
Noticed.
The poor gentleman's thinking of peeing right now, obviously. But he mentioned when we were on break, he's like, hey, did you get that EVP? And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I ran to the other computer and did like this, like, the fastest, like, download and move over to the share
right.
I've ever done in my life, and I guess Bonnie was really impressed.
And Doug
by that.
Was doing, like, a second count. You have 54 seconds left.
You better run. You better
go,
run.
Go, Scott, go. And he actually ran, people.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
It was awesome.
I got it.
Okay, let's try and salvage this.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead. It's all you.
Zach Bagans believes in ghosts, and he won't rest until you do, too. Bagans says he was skeptic until a spooky encounter rattled him to the bone a few years ago. Zach states he has accomplished his mission, capturing proof of the afterlife, in Ghost Adventures, a documentary that won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary at the New York Independent International Film and Video Festival earlier this year. Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Zach Bagans to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Hey. Welcome, Zach.
Good. How you doing? How you doing, guys?
Pretty good. Now, folks can find your information about you and your film at www.myspace.com/ghostadventures, right?
Yeah, that's where all of our latest blogs are posted and whatnot.
Excellent. And, you know, I want to know about this thing, because I am so into independent art.
Yeah, Doug really got excited when he found out this was an independent film that we're going to be talking about tonight.
I sure did, because I had just written a bio for myself, and I wrote, ooh, really into independent art. And, I mean, that was one of my things.
Yeah,
you know,
And
I mean by art, I mean, you know, music,
movies. We just talked movies, independent magazine the last half hour.
An independent magazine, you know, Unexplained Mag.
There's,
like, so many people doing so many cool things, and one of the hardest things to do is to put together an independent film, and of those, even harder is an independent documentary. And you
even
did
harder than that. Yeah, even harder than that is one on ghosts.
And then, to put one of those together on ghosts, my goodness, wow! So tell me about Ghost Adventures.
Well, Ghost Adventures, you know, is actually based upon an experience that I had with a ghost about 5 years ago. And up until about 5 years ago, I really didn't think twice about ghosts. And once I had an experience with a ghost in Michigan, actually, just south of where you guys are at in Trenton, Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, after that experience that I had with that ghost, it was actually so dramatic for me and so real and life-changing that it really opened my eyes up, and it scared me at first. And then after that experience, after a while, after the kind of fear wore off, I really wanted to dig deeper. As I think everybody that has an experience, a supernatural experience, I think their first one, they do get frightened at first, but then after a while, they realize what they just experienced, and they want to dig deeper and find out what this was. You know, what they saw, what they felt, what they heard. You know, there's something there, and that's what we're all trying to find. Where is this coming from? You know, and that's where the idea for the documentary came. I wanted to set out on this quest and dig deeper and keep investigating and trying to document some kind of strong proof, like my personal experience. So all those people out there that are skeptics, I believe they're skeptics because they have not had an experience like me. They have not had experiences like any of us. And until they do experience something like that, they're going to remain, you know, they're going to criticize your evidence. They're going to criticize your experiences. You're going to tell them about your experience that's going in there one ear and out the other. I mean, what do you do in that situation? You know, it's so strong for you as having this experience, and you just want them to, you want them to experience it also, you know?
Okay.
Well, Zach, I have to say, you pretty much summed up ghost hunting, and you just did. You really did.
A couple paragraphs.
Yeah, you did.
However, Bonnie, you have the same question I do.
I have to ask, because Trenton is like literally a hop, skip, and a jump from my house. Was it a public place in Trenton?
No, if you're in Trenton, it's on Riverside Drive. It was in a very, very old apartment building.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's like the old A&W root beer there. It's like one of the first A&Ws.
Yep.
Really old, and it's right down there on Elizabeth Park.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. That's where the apartment building was, and I moved in there. And when I moved in, my bedroom, that's where I had the most the issues with leading up to my experience. And when I moved in there, my bedroom, I smelled like a dead smell, something was dead. And it's kind of funny because I found a chair out by the dumpster. I'm not a garbage picker. I do very well for myself. But I found a chair and I put it in my bedroom. And I thought maybe a rat or something went up in that chair and died. So I cut it open. There was nothing in there. And then after that, I threw the chair out, and a while after that, at 3 in the morning, for about, I don't know, 7 or 8 nights consecutively, I was woken up at that same time at 3 a.m. by a woman pretty much screaming my name, and on about the 7th night, I was sleeping on my stomach. I heard the voice again calling my name. It woke me up, and I could not move for a good 30 seconds. My whole back was just completely icy. It was like somebody was just pinning me down, and I turned around. I woke up and I saw a shadow figure of a woman. I couldn't make out the details of her face. It was more of a shadow of a silhouette, but I knew it was a woman by the height and the hair area.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up. I turned my lights on, and there was nobody in my room. I went out in the parking lot, and I was scared. I was absolutely scared. I didn't know what it was, and I moved out about 2 weeks, two weeks after that experience.
Did you have any other experiences after that particular night?
No, not really. That was the only experience I had up until I moved out that next week or week and a half until I stayed there again. You know, I didn't have any experiences after that, and up until me filming the documentary, I've had no other experiences. Just while we were filming a documentary for 13 months.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's interesting because the woman in the bedroom, that kind of thing, the shadow figure lady in the bedroom, you think she was pinning you down?
I think so. After that experience, I think I don't know how long it was until I moved out to Nevada. But when I moved out to Nevada, when we started making the documentary, like I said, it was almost 5 years later. I took a camera, I flew back there, and I wanted to film the exterior of the building and whatnot to incorporate that into the beginning of the documentary and talk about my experience. While I was there, there was the old maintenance guy, and he was renovating my old apartment with some other guy. And I was filming around with a camera, and he came out and asked me why I was filming. And I asked if I could go back in there, and we went back in there, and it's in the documentary, and I'm filming him and asking him if there's been any other reports of hauntings in that building, and none that he knew of. The only thing that he does know is that a lady did commit suicide in the room next to mine about, I don't know, I think it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me a little bit more validation of maybe, hey, it was a woman, maybe it was her, you know, we can't factually state that it was, but that gives me some kind of more, you know, validation that, hey, this might have been the spirit of that woman.
Well, so, you've learned some history about it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You've learned some history about this.
Well, the thing is just the experience sounds very old hag-like.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the voice of somebody screaming your name. I don't know if that's part of old hag, but then you know, now you've found out more information, and plus it's never happened before or since.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, old hag would be...
It was a haunting in that building. I felt it in that room, and the smell that I couldn't answer, being woken up at that same time, I should have asked them what time did she, you know, commit suicide. Maybe she
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
But that it was just an amazing experience. It was unbelievable, and just experiencing that, it makes you want to go out there and just learn. It does. It scared me at first, but this is where the idea for the documentary came up.
Bonnie and I are thinking about renting an apartment together. She has a house. I have a house, but we're gonna rent this apartment together.
Actually,
now.
If it's still there, I'm thinking about going to talk to the people that live in it now.
Wow.
Oh, really? You guys are thinking about getting your own place together,
Excuse me, you guys
no,
are haunted,
we,
so you need
we
to move out.
Don't
so we, can move
need, we don't have to have them move out. I just want to talk to them and see if they've experienced it.
Oh, right.
I thought things were just going to get a bit awkward there for a few
minutes. Well, I am having his love child.
Oh, okay,
moving
cool.
In.
Yeah.
All right, just making sure.
So,
well, you know,
interesting. So, and then you made this documentary. You went filming all over Nevada, which, of course, by the way, I continually asked my parents growing up why we weren't a family that lived in, like, you know, Nevada or Arizona where it was warm, because I dislike the winters here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But and every time I go to Nevada, I want to go do all these wonderful things. I want to see the haunted ghost towns. I want to go up and, you know, the extraterrestrial highway. I want to do all these wonderful things, but I never seem to be able to leave the casino
Once
I'm in there. So yeah, so I'm going to end up having to go to Nevada and you know, landing and then not going into a casino.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to have to work
That's
on that.
Hard to do, because as soon as you land here, you got slot machines right off the German.
I know. They're like, go to this bigger, better casino.
Throw a drink in your hand. They throw a drink in one hand, a cigarette in the other, put you right in front of the slot machine, and you're good to go.
And you're like, oh, look, I could win. But I might be the next winner. But
me saying that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your impression.
That was me after
there.
A carton. But, no, if you go... So Nevada has always held a fascination for me. And then you, of course, had a haunting here in Michigan. Then you went to Nevada, and you got to go around... Somehow you stayed out of the casinos, and you went around to these, the ghost towns and everything, looking for ghosts?
Yeah, well, I live in Las Vegas. I teamed up with a friend of mine who also had an experience. His name is Nick Groff, who actually helped me make the film. And we actually got another camera guy named Aaron Goodwin, and the three of us, we went on this quest, and we got on the lonely roads in Nevada. We traveled to... they're all old mining towns. If you travel outside of Las Vegas and Reno, every other town is an old mining town. And it has so much dark history about it. You know, these were the days of gold in the late 1800s, where there was a lot of, you know, murders and deaths and people walking around with guns and just shooting each other. I mean, that's a lot of dark history. It's like the OK Corral out here, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we traveled to all these old mining towns, and... man, are they great. They were just unbelievable. We went to a place called Virginia City, Nevada, which is like Disney World for me now. It's a Disney World for any ghost hunter, and I highly recommend anybody that lives out here in the West or anybody that's planning to visit here, go to Virginia City, Nevada. It's about 8 hours north of Las Vegas, but every single building has stories. And what I like is going to these mining towns and meeting the locals. And it's just so weird we incorporate that into the film. These locals in these mining towns, they're so weird, you know, that they're like puppets of the undead. It's like they've had so many experiences with ghosts every day. It's like they're just as unique to us filming them as it is trying to capture ghosts on film. But we go to Virginia City, some highlighted places for anybody to check out, the Washoe Club, St. Mary's Art Center, Piper's Opera House. Another place we would go to is called Goldfield, and you guys might remember in 2001 they had a show hosted by Linda Blair called Scariest Places on Earth. Well, one of the most haunted places is the Goldfield Hotel, and we kind of feature that in the end of the film. We get locked in that hotel for an entire night, and before we get locked in, we have this 88-year-old lady, Virginia Ridgway, who used to work there back in the World War II days. She's the only lady that's still living that used to work at the Goldfield Hotel when it was in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes us around on a tour there just before we're getting ready to get locked in. And Nick and I are just thinking to ourselves, okay, well, maybe she'll walk by and say that she smelled perfume here, saw shadow here. No, she's telling us how she got thrown up against the wall trying to, when they were doing a pentagram, trying to get rid of the ghosts. And how they got pushed down a flight of stairs and this and that. I mean, some of these ghosts at the Goldfield Hotel are extremely active. And what we ended up capturing there is highlighted in the film, and that's some of our strongest evidence.
We're not, you know, and you make an interesting comment about this, because you're saying that these people, that it's happened to them so much or so frequently that it's kind of second nature to them. And for them to say that, you know, yeah, I got pushed down the stairs by this thing, you know, whatever, it happens, what are you going to do? It's kind of like not a big deal to them. We're obviously, you know, one of us sitting here on this phone line right now would be, like, totally blown away. We'd be telling everybody about this experience. It's an interesting viewpoint for someone to have that, to be in that mindset, I guess you'd say.
That's what I picked up on, too, Doug, is that these locals that lived in some of these towns, Virginia lives in this house. It's really weird. She lives in this house like 50 yards from the hotel. It's just really strange, you know, and she's telling us how she has these Indians that visit her at her house, and it's just an eerie town. They are eerie just for like you say, it's just nothing new to them, you know, and that's just... I think we can learn a lot from them, not only just going out with cameras and trying to capture some activity on cameras and EVPs, but we can also learn a lot from these people that live in these towns, that live in these haunted buildings. Those are the people I like to question because, yeah, maybe 5 years ago I wouldn't believe them, but after my experience, now I listen to them and I listen deeply to them because they know what they're talking about, you know?
Well, a lot of what we found doing this show and talking to all sorts of people is just that. A lot of what you do is history. You're going back and finding out the history of these things. You're learning from people about what may have happened there. Like, a great example was your apartment, the experience you had. Like we said, you had this wild thing happen to you, this amazing thing happen to you. And then a few years later, you come back, and then you find out from somebody that the place, there was a suicide in the room next to your room where you had this experience. It's the history, I think, that really... people need to focus on a lot of times to understand there's something happening, but why is it happening, right? That's
exactly.
Something people need to focus on that. Now, you guys said you guys were traveling all around to do this film, and you know this is something I was biting my nails and I wanted to discuss this with you. Well, Doug, you're
I want to know where you guys stayed when you were driving around doing this stuff. Like, did they?
Oh man, we slept in our car. There was one place we slept. We didn't run out, like, they don't have, like, nice hotels. They don't have, like, really nice hotels. I was listening to your show last week, and I think it was Scott, you're staying in some five-star hotel or something?
That was me. That was Doug. And I was staying,
Doug, yeah.
I stayed in this wonderful Holiday Inn in Gettysburg, and then we transferred to the opposite. We transferred to the Econo Lodge, which had a one-star rating, and it lived up to its rating.
No, but I think part of the fun about packing your vehicle up and for me shooting a documentary is not really worrying about where I'm going to stay. I mean, I think it's kind of fits into the whole, the whole flavor of what we're doing. We're staying in the rooms that we're renting. We're staying in, the Silver Queen Hotel. We went to the Silver Queen Hotel. It was one of our investigations, and we only booked one room. But the camera guy, we made him sleep in the car because he had a bad snoring problem.
wow.
But, yeah, we pretty much stayed in the places that had the actual hauntings. We didn't, if we knew that we were going to a real active haunted location, a haunted room, a hotel, we did everything we could to talk with the owners and the people that represent the hotels that, you know, we have to stay there. We want to stay there overnight. We don't want to stay in, like, another hotel and travel there and do a 2 or 3 hour ghost hunt. We want to live there for the night. We want to stay there and have our cameras up while we're sleeping. And that's a part of us that I think we're a little bit different, too, is all the locations we were there. We always made sure we stayed there overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that activity, you leave your cameras on, and when you're sleeping, I think is sometimes when they're curious. You know, they come out when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
You go out there with a big crew and stuff like that, you might intimidate them. You know, they might be back a little bit, but if you settle in a little bit, you stay in overnight, you let your gear stay up and running, and maybe they'll come out and check things out, and that's what we did.
Absolutely. And the one thing I wanted to mention, well, I wanted to ask you about, I've been dying to ask you about this, is when we were going back and forth on emails, Zach, one of the things that we were going to talk about tonight was, you know, why some of your ghost hunting tactics have been touted as a bit controversial and extreme. And I'm just curious, what are you doing out there?
Are you swinging from the chandelier?
Yeah, yeah.
If so, can I go ghost hunting with you?
Yeah.
That brings me to a quote. Let me just read you this quote real quick. We got a quote from Dread Central, who I think we're a little bit offended. We don't go out there and disrespect anything. But let me read you this quote they gave based on me. This was towards me. Paranormal research is not base jumping, and that's what I think Bagans is doing, extreme ghost hunting. Dread Central, guys, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going out there, and I'm doing whatever I have to do to elicit some sort of response. If I have to taunt or provoke, I will, but I do not disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
If I go there and I learn the history, I do research on these places. I don't just show up with gear and cameras and go out there and run around and, you know, look for shadows. I mean, I go out there, I learn the history. I try and find out what exactly happened at the Goldfield Hotel. There's this guy named George Winfield who owned the hotel. He chained this prostitute up to a radiator in room 109 because she got pregnant with his baby. Being a big mogul at that time, he didn't want to ruin his image by having a prostitute have his baby. So he chained this lady up to a radiator, gave her enough food and water till the baby was born. She mysteriously died, but he threw the baby down a mine shaft in the basement of the hotel. So,
oh, my God.
What do? I go in the hotel, and I try and piss him off because he's the one who is supposed to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's moments in the documentary you're going to see me being a little taunting and stuff like that. But some, I think, get offended by it, and they say, hey, you're dealing with paranormal research. This is how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to go in and do this. Who is out there to say this is how you're supposed to do it? Anybody can go out there and conduct their investigation any way possible, any way they would like, but yes, there's a line of disrespect, and we don't cross that line. I taunt the spirits a little bit, and from how I conduct it, I'm getting what I want. You know, and the evidence that I'm getting is working.
I had the pleasure of ghost hunting with Ghost Hunters Incorporated. And it seems like you guys follow similar tactics, except for when GHI does it, it's so darn entertaining.
Yeah.
That you can't possibly think they're disrespecting.
Well, you know, Zach, you make a good point, though, too. And the point is just that, you know, who are you or anybody to say what you're supposed to do when you go ghost hunting? I think it's obvious that when you go to an area, there's a certain level of respect that you have to maintain. That's a given. That's a given. There's no way to get around that. There's no trying to discuss that. There's no controversy with that. There is controversy, however, on spirit provocation, like you're talking about. A lot of people in the ghost hunting arena.
There's controversy about that.
But Zach brings up a great point, though. Well, who are you to say what you're supposed to do? And what do we preach here every week, Doug? I mean, try new things. Try this. Try that. As long as you're not crossing the line.
Experiment.
Why not?
Experiment with everything you can.
I think you're crossing the line if you go to a cemetery and you start taking up tombstones and throwing them. I mean, that's where you're crossing the line.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If you go into a haunted location and you're saying things like, come on, let me hear you. You know, if you're trying to provoke them in a verbal way, I don't think there's a problem with that, you know. It's when you're starting to do physical things, is I believe where you're crossing.
Well, property damage. Bottom line,
yeah.
Property.
Yeah,
damage.
We don't do that. You know
exactly.
So, that's just what I wanted to address along those lines. So,
well, I think you make some good points. I think you make some really good points on that.
So I'm looking forward to it. I go to www.myspace.com/ghostadventures, all one word,
ghost adventures. Mm-hmm.
For Zach's site. And what an amazing job. I can't wait to see the film.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that. Zach, hang on the line for one second. Unfortunately, we're out of time, though. So thanks for coming on the show and discussing your movie with us, Zach. We really appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. And James, I wanted to say hi up in Erie, Pennsylvania, at Gudgeonville Bridge. That's it.
Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Hang on for one second, all right,
Zach?
Hang on the
line, Zach, for one second. So, yes, coming up next, what we have the...
Field Reporters.
Field Reporters. Dun, dun, dun.
I think
Teddy
actually,
is next.
Teddy's, well, she's new.
Oh, that's right.
It's her nighting.
Okay. She's her nighting tonight, so we have to take care of
that. Well, we got the pumpkin spice candle lit and ready for her.
Oh, my.
That was really good, Doug.
Well, you know, it doesn't make any sense, so it worked
all
out well.
Red,
yeah, exactly.
Red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
WB, until after this independent music break, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back.
My name's Philip Gardner, and you can contact me through my website, www.gardenersworld.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Passionately, Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness and life continuously? Dr. Patty Dunn and Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Done a show with Keith?
No.
No.
He's my replacement. I guess I'm easily replaced.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sooner or later, there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be here.
That's true.
I don't know when. Because I'm always here, it seems like.
I've done shows with
Yeah, you've done shows. Yeah, there's been a couple of shows like when I was still playing and stuff like that. There was, you know, I was out of the state for the weekend or whatever, and you did a show. But we'll bring Keith in my absence then.
Ooh, excellent.
And then I'll be expendable,
that'll
too.
That'll be different.
But we'll do it in the Haunted Basement Studios.
That'll be really different.
You didn't get to do it the
You
other
didn't get to do it a couple weeks ago. We did that.
No,
that
I did.
Awesome.
I was celebrating my birthday.
That was a fun weekend, though. And we had some
happy birthday that was, she had.
The first week we rolled out the new phone stuff we were doing. So we had all kinds of weird things going on at the beginning of the show. But other than that, it was a really great show. It was fun. It was nostalgic to go back and do that thing.
Definitely.
It was a great time to go back there. And we had some really fun guests on that night, too. The guys from GHI were on and stuff. And it was a good show. So I'd like to do that again. That was really, the system now is so much easier. It's much more mobile.
Well,
now.
And we're going to have a mobile studio over there. So.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be.
But I don't have keys to the Haunted Basement Studio.
Oh, you just climb in the window.
Yeah, that's what I used to
do. Normally, I just walk in. So
or just walk
it
in.
It doesn't matter.
I should just climb in the window, you know.
But, speaking of really fun guests. And, we've got coming up right now, as we speak.
Oh, man. It just, the red, white, and blue, things like that. You know,
the white, and the blue are here on the phone to talk to us. It is indeed Teddy. Teddy, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Well, thank you. And you'll be happy to know I am, in fact, wearing red, white, and blue.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Now, for the listening audience, all right, you're hearing this red, white, and blue over and over again. I'm still not 100% clear on how this whole thing came together. But when we went down to Virginia for the
CPR, I'm only wearing white and blue.
I'm wearing black.
Yes, I have white.
I have some white.
I'm wearing white and blue. I'm not wearing red.
What about your thong? What color is your thong?
No, the thong is blue today.
Oh.
Today.
Yeah.
Gross.
No, the red thong, I had to tie that on the door handle in Gettysburg. So.
But the first time we met John Zappas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was like, when the first time we met Teddy, personally,
exactly.
Also. We were talking to John and Teddy come by and he said, you know, hey, how you doing, red, white, and blue? And we're like, what's up with that? And, you know, this was, Teddy, you might be able to explain this a little bit better. How did this whole thing come about, this whole nickname of red, white, and blue come about?
Well, first off, let me say this. John is a very happily married man. But it all started, we met at a conference, and John was outside talking to a lady, and I walked up, and it just so happened I had on a sweater with a great big heart, and the heart was done in red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And John and I struck up an immediate friendship. We've been very close friends ever since. And that evening, there was a dinner with the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I had on another sweater, and it happened to be red, white, and blue. And John just started calling me that. Some time had gone by, and I called John concerning a case that I was going on. And I wasn't sure if he would remember who I was. So when I said my name, that's when he came back with, "Oh, yeah, red, white, blue." And so from that point forward, that's who I've been, and I proudly wear my red, white, and blue.
Well, I have to say, when we were in Virginia for the CPRI conference, I never seen someone run so hard.
Oh, no.
For an event in my entire life. Teddy, you inspired us all that weekend. As a matter of fact, I remember correctly, by the end of the weekend, it was like the last day, people were starting to, you know, check out of the hotels, you know, say their goodbyes, shake hands or whatever, give hugs and kisses. And there's Teddy sitting in the corner.
That was quite a conference then.
Wow.
Well, no, there was Teddy sitting there in the corner just like, she's like, the look people in radio land can't see this, but she was just like out of it, man. She was done. And like, we all walked over and we're like, "Hey, Teddy, you know, hey, thanks for everything." She's like, "Somebody give me a cigarette right now."
We're like, "No, we
don't
can't.
Let my son see this, but let somebody give me a cigarette right now." So we sat there and talked to you for a while, but no, you helped us out so much that weekend. You were there. Any question we had, you were right there to like just give us a hand with whatever we need. So thank you. We wanted to thank you personally for
that. And she has the coolest shoes ever.
Oh, the blinking
orb
ones.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Orb shoes.
The orb shoes. And every time I talk to John, he wants to know if I still have the orb shoes. And he offered to buy them from me. And he told my son that he would give him $100 if my son were to sneak them out of my hotel room and bring them up to him so he could put them in his museum. Because
right,
when you walk by, the lights go off and... you know, I told him that I would trade him for one or two of his team members, but he didn't go for that.
right.
Well, Teddy, now, I don't know if you know how this works exactly. You've agreed. I don't know why, but you've agreed.
She volunteered.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You volunteered to be our Virginia field reporter. Am I correct?
This is true.
Okay. First of all, why? Hey, you don't have to answer that. I'm just asking myself that.
Well, you guys look like so much fun.
We are. I'm Doug and I are.
Well, I'm glad I'm not taking all the heat this time.
Well, Scott answers the phone almost every time I call, so...
Speaking of answering the phone when people call, I called you yesterday.
You called me?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, well, we have a tendency to not answer the phone.
Hey, I am right there with you, Teddy.
Oh, yeah.
I am so with you. I don't answer the phone very well.
I answer my phone.
If I don't recognize the number or I don't recognize who's calling, we just let it ring. But I'm glad that you called, and I'm telling you.
We'll be getting back with you shortly.
She'll be returning your call.
I left a message
the
on your cell phone, actually. But now, Scott, you go ahead with the whole knighting thing.
Okay, knight me.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that nice, smooth roll-in on
Scott
that.
Scott performs on command.
I do segues like you guys do.
Yeah, well, yeah.
See how I work
smooth,
that?
The smooth, really consistent. Smooth. No, the way we do this, Teddy, is, you know, if you want to become a Ghostly Talk field reporter, you do have to be what Doug and I refer to as officially knighted in the Ghostly Talk Hall of Antiquities or whatever you want to call it, all right? So...
I'm not sure I like my, you know, antiques and my name being.
I thought it was the Elite Ninja Squad.
Yeah,
that's better. Thank you.
It's been a while. We haven't knighted anybody in a long time, so thank you for that reminder, Bonnie. You'll be knighted into the Elite Ninja Squad of Ghostly Talk Field Reporter.
Actually, I think it was the Ninja Like Squad.
Jesus Christ. Okay, all right, fine. Do you want to do this or not?
We're doing a takeover. No, we're good.
All right, we're good. So what we're going to do, Teddy, is I want you to repeat after me. You ready?
I am.
Okay. I, state your name.
I, Teddy Schuyler.
Do hereby adhere to...
Do hereby adhere to...
Amend all the rules according to red, white, and blue.
amend all the rules according to red, white, and blue.
Hottie, hottie, hottie.
Hottie, hottie, hottie.
Doug, Doug, Doug.
Wait a minute, isn't it supposed to be thong, thong, thong? Doug, Doug, Doug.
Okay, oh, do yeah. it that way.
Bonnie, Bonnie, Bonnie.
Bonnie, Bonnie, Bonnie.
Scott L. is God.
Excuse me?
All right, scratch that
you,
one.
You meant Teddy is God.
Teddy is God. Teddy is a goddess.
Goddess.
Teddy is a goddess.
Teddy is a goddess. All
right.
Uh-huh.
I think that's for us to say. Go ahead.
I love ghostly talk.
I love ghostly talk.
I like her.
Oh, voice. We're going to so totally clip that out and use that. Yeah.
Let's try it again. I love ghostly talk.
I love ghostly talk.
All right, this time say it like you mean. I love ghostly talk.
You mean like I really mean it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you really mean it, baby. Yeah.
Oh, I love ghostly talk.
Wow, I dig it.
I think I'm going to have to do the rest of this now.
Yeah. Excuse me for 1 second. With liberty, and with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Congratulations, Teddy. Doug the sword.
Shwing.
Congratulations, Teddy.
Oh, that's so hard.
Oh, sorry about that.
Congratulations, Teddy.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. Congratulations, Teddy. You are now an official Ghostly Talk field reporter. By being an official Ghostly Talk field reporter, you are hereby set to any type of benefits that you would have as a Ghostly Talk field reporter, which are none. But you will. We appreciate your help. We appreciate all that, and we're really proud to have you as our Virginia field reporter. Thank you.
Thank you. So, I feel very welcome.
And your email is set up.
Yeah, your email. Yes. Yeah, we have your email set to go. We have a very efficient system, which is called Bonnie to take care of that stuff now. So Bonnie has you ready to go. What can we expect in the future from you?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to do is get in touch with all of the investigative groups around Virginia and try to see how many places they've been to that are the same. And try to, you know, bring a little bit of cohesiveness to ghost investigations. There seems to be a lot of competition, and I think that if we really want to get somewhere with investigations, we need to all start pulling together.
You are absolutely right, too, Teddy. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. I know a lot of groups are, obviously, and we go through this a lot, or we talk about this a lot here on the show. There's a lot more teams out there now. There's a lot more groups being assembled now. And generally, I think it's because of the media. People are inspired. We say it all the time. Right. People are inspired, which is awesome. I think that's totally cool. But I think people sometimes maybe getting into it for the wrong reasons, unfortunately, and they have to realign their goals. And one of those, I think one of the goals, is just like what you said, is a lot more teams need to be working together on things. Like we work with tons of teams, it seems like now. Lots of groups out there that, you know, they're doing things. Go ahead, Dad. You had something to say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So
I want to go on to a totally different topic. So you finish that one up, and then I'll...
I just finished it. You go.
Ah. Hey, Teddy, I have a question for you now that I'm turning his mic off.
Oh, baby. Okay.
When you started going to the paranormal conferences... when you started going to the paranormal conferences... There's something in my headphones. Let me try that again. I gotta try this again. This is an experiment. When you started going to the paranormal conferences,
We have a certain amount of time here.
What made you start going to the conferences? And did you know all the folks, or did you want to meet them? Why did you start going?
Well, I think that I started going because I wanted to be people of like mind. I mean, I grew up in a haunted house, and most of my life people just thought I was weird. And so it was nice to be around where people who didn't believe in ghosts were the weird ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was normal. most people would argue with the fact that I consider myself normal.
I find you very normal.
That's an interesting take, though, too.
And you have struck up some friendships there and joined the CPRI, and you've done all these wonderful, interesting things. And you know a lot of people, and when you go, you get to perhaps go on a ghost hunt if you can sneak away from the conference, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When you do these kinds of things, has that really, what has that done for you?
Actually, I don't believe I've ever done an investigation when I've been at a conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have, but we had to sneak away.
Well, the last time, I met y'all up there in Gettysburg a few months back, and I had my son and my nephew with me, and it was so busy in Gettysburg that weekend that there really wasn't any place that you could go that was quiet, and doing a real investigation or I was trying to get some EVP, and there was just too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
That really just didn't work. But with the conferences, what I get out of it is, like I said, I get to network with people, and, you know, I met John, I met y'all, and quite a few other people that I find really interesting and that I've made friends with. It's just expanding my horizons, I guess.
And what I'm getting at is, I think I'm using you as a bit of a guinea pig, because I know what I've gotten out of the conferences, and I wouldn't trade them for the universe, because, for example, my birthday party.
Coming up.
Right.
Yeah. My birthday coming up in March. We had planned this whole event and everything like that. Once I found out that there was a conference in Arkansas in March, I changed everything so that my birthday party is going to be held at the conference, because I believe in the conferences. I absolutely love them, and I wouldn't have it any other way than to go to a conference and celebrate my birthday there. Because
did we let the stripper know that we moved it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's all set? Okay, good. And so these conferences are very important to me, and that's what I was trying to get at, how important they are to people. And
well, I've driven all over the world. Okay, not all over the world. The furthest I've gone is Gettysburg. Of course, I live in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 5.5-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to be going to one in Savannah.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go down there in Savannah in the springtime, and that's a 10-hour drive. So, obviously, they're fairly important to me. I learn so much. That's the thing, is I get such a wide variety of ideas, and I don't necessarily buy into everything that I hear.
Nor you shouldn't. I don't think anybody should.
Right. And it's to me, it's an experiment. It's, you know, I listen to this person, and I listen to that person, and I talk to 50,000 people, and I always come away learning something or a different way to do something, something that will help with my investigations. So that's pretty much what I get out of it, you know.
Interesting.
A different point of view.
And it's very similar to what I get out of conferences, because when we started with the Mothman Festival, which is not really ghost-related, but
how many ghost hunters show up, though? It's amazing.
There's a lot of ghost hunters show up to it.
Yeah.
But it's not, the whole festival itself is not specifically ghost related, and then we got invited to another, you know, a ghost related one, and then another and another, and once we started going on those, I'm hooked. I'm absolutely hooked.
This is what we do for. This is what we spend our vacations now. It's pretty much going to conferences.
And
you know,
I
just got a job so that we could go. Honest to gosh, I just got home from my second job, and so that I can spend my money to go to conferences, and talk about sick. But
well, you know, like you said, though, there are a lot of benefits if you're in this field, and the conference thing is starting to really get popular. It seems there's a lot of people planning these things now for 2007, especially. You guys have no idea what we have planned for 2007, but there's a lot going on in 2007, and we can't get to all of them. We can't. It's just impossible. We don't have that much vacation time to play with.
I do. Oh.
Anyways, it's impossible to get to all of them, but there are so many cool events on all corners of the country here in the U.S.
Oh yeah,
there are so many of them that I think it's impossible in 2007 to not be able to get to one somewhere, to have one in driving distance from you in 2007, wherever you may be in the country.
Exactly.
And they're great places. What's that?
There's some very, very popular speakers. You know, if you read anything on ghost-related topics, you're going to see the people that wrote the books, and you know they've spent a lot of time doing research. So basically, you can walk into any bookstore, put your hand down on a book, and then find that author somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been a lot of fun for us, too, doing the radio show, is a lot of these people that are at these conferences, we've talked to them, you know, several times in some cases with before. So it's really nice to finally meet these people in person and go, hey, it's cool to hang out with you finally. That's what we get out of it. That's what we get out of it. I mean, a big thing we do here at the radio show.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you allowed me to talk about that, because I dig the conferences. You know, obviously we're promoting the conferences quite a bit, and we're appearing at some.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to get your take on the conferences, so thank you, Teddy.
Well, I loved putting the one on for CPRI. I wish I could say I did all the work. I didn't. It was a group event,
mm-hmm.
and everybody that was involved, you know, everybody that was in CPRI really pulled their own weight, and I just kind of stood there and pointed said go.
And you did a great job of
it.
Well, thank you. But like I said, I wasn't in it alone, and they didn't need a lot of instruction, and it was amazing. Everybody just kind of did their thing, and it all came together in such a great way.
I'll restate that. I mean, everybody there was awesome.
Oh,
gosh, we said that before.
Definitely.
When we came back from that trip, we were buzzing, and we're like, and everybody there was totally awesome. But the one person that really stuck out to me was Teddy.
Oh,
she was all over the place.
Oh, that's only because of the orb shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Teddy, you
had the orb shoes. You did have the advantage.
Teddy emceed all the speakers. She emceed the whole thing, and she got up there, and we talked about some stuff that she was, you know, experiences she had before the speakers would come up there when they were preparing their slides and stuff like that. Teddy was just all over the place, and I was just really blown away by that, because we were just sitting at the table behind her just like, just recording everything. And it was just an awesome weekend. It was a great time. And hopefully we'll get together again pretty soon too.
It's always fun
to hang out. It was good to see you in Gettysburg too. It was really awesome to see you there. And hopefully we'll get together at another conference here down the road pretty soon.
I hope so.
Definitely. I tell you what, Doug, help me. I can't talk.
Scott's dying.
Whoa, what happened
Scott's
there?
Scott's falling off his chair.
Spider crawled down my throat.
But we have, we have so few minutes left.
Yeah.
Teddy, what are you looking into now? What's your favorite haunted topic right now?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a place around here called the Fairy Plantation House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Virginia's Registry of Historic Sites. It is open to the public. And it's very active. Now, they did a tour during the Halloween season, but it's open all the time, and they'll be happy to tell you all the ghost stories. I've done several investigations in that house where we've spent the whole night, and there's one room that's just very, very, very active. We haven't been able to pin down, but it's really interesting that we keep getting the same types of readings in this one particular room. The house used to be a courthouse, for Virginia when it was a very long time ago. And the Witch of Pungo, many people have heard that story. Grace Sherwood was considered the Witch of Pungo. And she was tried in that courthouse. Turns out she wasn't a witch at all. Imagine that. But we have a very famous road out here, Witch Duck Road, named after that whole event. But I'm kind of so that's kind of my favorite place, I think, around here, mostly because it is open to the public, and the people that are the caretakers of it are very excited about ghost hunters, and they have given me a lot of access to the place. And like I said, I've spent several nights there.
Well,
it's very interesting.
Don't be surprised if a ranger pulls up and it's got Ghostly Talk written on the side. And we go, we want to go to there. But
well, I've invited you guys a million times.
I know.
And we just can't get out of the state, it seems like. It's been so crazy here. There's all kinds of other stuff going on. We want to hook up, though. We got to do that.
We do. We really do.
So when you come this way, I'll be happy to talk to her, and I'm sure that we can set something up. I mean, we can even do a broadcast from there. I was hoping to do it for Halloween.
That's kind of a crazy time.
But
well, we might be able to, you know, hey, Halloween comes every year.
Yes, it does. So imagine Halloween,
and God forbid we might plan ahead for something, you know. Maybe,
I've never planned ahead.
maybe we can line something up here today. We should discuss this in greater detail.
Yes.
Definitely.
Hang on that was it. We got to let you go.
Hang on the line, though.
But do hang on the line for a second.
We're just going to go to break here.
Teddy's
and tell Mason I said hello.
We definitely will.
Definitely will, for sure. Hang on for one second, Teddy. Wow. We're busy tonight.
I know. This show is just flying by. There's like an hour left, and I can't believe it.
Let's take a quick breather, though. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.